Let's start in Matthew chapter 28, and you'll kind of get an idea of what's going on in my heart here in just a moment. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Brother Grizzle, I said Sunday morning, this wasn't my text, but when I talked about this power, this great earthquake, I never thought about this before. But was there an earthquake and then Jesus opened his eyes? Or did Jesus open his eyes and then there was an earthquake? I want to believe he opened his eyes and enough power, say amen, caused the earth to shake. You say, where did you get the thought even? Well, when he spake to those that came to arrest him in the garden, the word of God said they fell backwards. Beloved, they didn't take his life from him. He gave his life for you and for me. The word of God said his countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow. For fear of the keepers did, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now I want you to see this right here tonight. The Bible said in verse number 7, what's the next word? And what? Go. Go how? And do what? Tell. Brother Blankenship stood here a while ago and he talked about the opportunities to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the first thing God wants us to talk about in the message tonight is there still ought to be some witnesses. There still ought to be some people that, beloved, listen, understand that Jesus died, yes, and he was buried, yes, but yes, he got up the third and appointed day. And we ought to be witnesses of the gospel. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You say, Pastor, everybody knows that. Beloved, that's not so. Everybody doesn't know that. And I will say this to you tonight. There are multitudes of people that know about Jesus, but don't know him in the free pardon of sin. Amen? And I believe tonight that God is looking for some witnesses. The Bible said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And look what the Bible said. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. I believe tonight that God is still, in this generation, looking for some that will be a witness of the resurrection. In verse number 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Look at Luke chapter 24 for just a moment. The first word tonight in the message that we picked up in the Bible is the word witness, and the word witnessing. I will say this to you tonight. I believe from the pulpit to the pew, this is an area where we're failing in this generation. We're taking for granted that everybody knows God and everybody knows the way and everybody knows the gospel. But beloved, that's just not true. I've had people tell me that they were a Christian, and I ask them, why do they believe they're a Christian? They said, because I live in America, and America's a Christian nation. We know that's not true. Amen. We were talking a while ago, Brother Michael, about the young people. I saw on the news recently where there was 3 shootings in Johnson City just recently. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I've told you before. It may be going on in Los Angeles today, but honey, it'll be here tomorrow. You think about what's going on in Johnson City and what's going on in Asheville as far as the gay pride and all that stuff. Beloved, it's sickening, but it's going on in our world, amen? And God needs somebody to stand up and be a witness of that risen Savior. Look with me at Luke chapter 24 for just a minute. I'm just going to go ahead and turn, as you all do. Many times I print the scriptures off and just read them, print it off, but I'll turn with you tonight. Luke chapter number 24 and verse 46 down through verse number 48. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, and ye are witnesses of these things. Beloved, you know what a witness is? That's somebody that's seen something. That's somebody that's heard something. Say amen. That's somebody that was on the scene years ago. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I'm sure I've told this somewhere in the last 9 years. That years ago, and I was not aware of this, but the treasurer in my church called our home on a Monday night. He talked to Miss Eve, said, is the preacher there? Miss Eve said, no, he's out. So he said, you want me to have him? She said, you want me to have him call? He said, no, that's okay. I'll get in touch with him later. Well, Wednesday night, we were having church. Wednesday night, we were going to dismiss early. There was a death in the church. We were going to just have prayer, take up an offering, read some scripture, and go to the funeral home. That's what the plan was that night. And I called on the men, and this man was he was the treasurer in the church, but he was always one of the men that was helping take up the offering. And when I asked him to come, he ran down the aisle with his hands up like this, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And I said, brother, what is it? He said, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. You say, pastor, you don't know who's saved and who ain't. No, but God does. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're saved, you know it. Say amen. It may not nobody else know it, but you know it. And we need to be witnesses. You need to have heard something, seen something. And I'll tell you where this man got under conviction. Brother Jim, I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but I told a story. I was done preaching one day. And I said, I'll tell you why a lot of people will never be a witness. I said, y'all listening? I'll tell you why because I've never experienced anything. Ain't never been a change in their life. I said, let me give you an example. There was a man in the church that he'd spent months after month after month in the wintertime down in Florida. And beloved, he would tell me he had three bass that weighed over 10 pounds mounted above his fireplace there. I'd never caught a bass that big, nowhere even close to that big. But he'd tell me the story, Brother Michael. And I could sit there, and if I wanted to, I could yawn because I wasn't there. But, buddy, when he was telling the story, he was excited about it. He fished with live bait. He used a shiner. And he said, preacher, he said, I don't let them nibble at it. He said, I let them swallow it. All the way down there, he said, where you, they can't get off the hook. He said, when I set the hook, it's down in their belly. Amen. That's what he told me, you know, and he's excited about it. On the other hand, I'd tell him stories about being down between two rocks. And just about the length of the shotgun barrel from the end of the barrel was that old gobbler. Like that. He could yawn because he had never been there. I did get him started turkey hunting. But anyway, it didn't mean nothing. He wasn't there. I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever been there, it means something to you. That you've been forgiven. That you've been washed. And you want to tell somebody else. Amen. You want somebody else to experience what you've experienced in the grace of God. The Bible talks about witnessing, being a witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power. I'll quote this, I think, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. That's what the Lord said. Amen. So he's looking for witnesses in this interim between the resurrection and the ascension. The second thing, go back to Matthew chapter number 28, is you see worshiping. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, in the second part of the verse, the Bible said they went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, Boy, that lines up with what I've said a lot of times, don't it? Amen. We may get face to face somewhere when we see him, but I believe before that we'll be face to feet. Amen. People met him in the Word of God. They fell at his feet as dead. Here he is, risen from the dead. And beloved, they fall at his feet to worship him. Now, I believe we're behind, don't you, in our worshiping. Amen. He is alive and he deserves worship. He desires worship. And beloved, I'll say this. He's determined worship. That's why the Word of God said every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 17. The Word of God said here, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you a doubter or are you a worshiper? Are you one that knows? Hallelujah. Yeah, I like the song, Brother Ralph. You ask me how I know he lives. Praise God, I got a book that says he lives, and I know he lives in my heart. Amen. I know he lives tonight. There wasn't no dead Savior that spoke to me that night and let me know. You were 9 years old, brother. I was 27 years old. I was full of pride and hard-headed. But thank God I didn't harden my neck. Amen. I wasn't cut off. God let me in by his mercy. Amen. And by his grace. Look at Luke chapter 24 for just a moment. Worshiping. The Bible said in Luke chapter 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 50. This is in that interim. In verse number 50, the Bible said he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Can you imagine what it would be like to be under that ministry of Jesus when he lifts up his hands and he blesses them? And the Word of God said it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And the Word of God said in verse 52, and they worshiped him. Glory to God. I'll tell you what's the truth. Beloved, listen. I'm going to get into something here a little bit. But beloved, listen. We need to be worshiping the Lord. Amen. And we don't need to wait on Sunday to do it either. Amen. We ought to be worshiping him every day of our life. He's coming. I'd like to be found worshiping, wouldn't you? I'd like to be found worshiping him. The Word of God said, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. There's worshiping, witnessing, worshiping. Then look at Mark chapter number 16 for just a moment. Again, this is in that interim between the resurrection and the ascension. We find something else. You find him working. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? The Bible said in verse 19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord. Look at this. Here's what we need. The Lord working with them. Beloved, listen. We can't do the work of the Lord without him working in us, working through us, and working with us. Say amen. I believe, listen, I believe there's two really bad mistakes that are made in the ministry a lot of times. Some, they've got this notion, I believe because they're lazy. Daddy had a word to describe it. They're sorry. Daddy said some people wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. Amen. But listen, I believe some's got this idea, well, we'll just sit back and if it gets done, God's going to have to do it. Oh, no, the Word of God teaches we're laborers together with God. And then others got a notion they're like a salesman. They're going to do it. They're going to get it done. Not without God, you ain't. Amen. We need God. And he wants to work with us. And he wants to work through us. And he wants to work in us. Not, beloved, by ourselves, but working through us and working with us in this generation. Look at Luke chapter 24. This is a blessing to me tonight. And listen, if you're a believer tonight, I'll guarantee you, you battle with this. Listen to me. I believe that sometimes it's possible to get gospel hardened. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about even saved people. Where this Bible just don't have that zip that it used to have. You don't have that thrill when you read it that you used to have. You don't have that thrill when you get a nugget out of it. Brother Coulter, he told me after church Sunday, or no, it was before church Sunday, we were preaching out there, and he was talking about the evening and the morning for 6 days, but on the seventh day, that eternal rest, I could see it light up in him. He said, that's a nugget I need to chew on a while. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Look at it with me. Chapter number 24, verse number 12. First of all, the Word of God said, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed. What's that next word? Wandering. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Where's the wonder of it all? Say amen. Where's the wonder that the likes of him would love the likes of me and give his life for the likes of me and then give his life to the likes of me? I have eternal life tonight. You say, Pastor, I don't know about the wonder. I do. It's beloved, it's possible to get over it. It's possible to even start acting like you deserve to be sitting where you're sitting. And I deserve to be standing where I'm sitting as standing. But beloved, listen to me tonight. All we deserve, Brother Junior, is to be frying in the region of the damned. That's all we deserve tonight. By the grace of God, we can come to church. By the grace of God, we can have a good meal. By the grace of God, we got some clothes to put on our back. By the grace of God, we got friends. By the grace of God, we got somebody that'll pray for us. By the grace of God, we can pay the bills. I'm saying, beloved, listen tonight. The wonder of it all. I told my wife a couple of years back, you know, I have something in common with Brother John. Don't tell him that. He's not here tonight, but don't tell him. I like a deal. I like a bargain. Amen. And you can, lots of times, well, I won't tell you what Brother Alan Kidd said. He was a detective. He said, a pawn shop ain't nothing but a license to steal. That's what he said. Amen. But anyway, I'm not doing anything illegal if I go in there and buy something for about half of what it costs somewhere else. Say amen. If they got it, and of course, if they catch them with it and it is hot, then they're in trouble. But I like a good deal. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The wonder, the wonder, the wonder. The wonder. One day I made a deal, a trade that, beloved, you cannot compare it to any other trade. I traded my sin for his righteousness. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can't have your sin and his righteousness. Beloved, there has to come a time when we repent, when we say, Lord, I need to be forgiven. I need you to save me. Look in Acts chapter number 1. Let's look at verse 41 in chapter 24 of Luke first. At verse 41, the Word of God had said, while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? You can understand what's going on. They believed not for joy. In other words, they were just so happy. It's like, pinch me. This ain't real. This can't even be real. Amen. But they had that wonder in their hearts. Look at Acts chapter 1 for just a moment. I think this is a beautiful, beautiful text. In Acts chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Look at the word of God in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Beloved, I want you to know tonight that not only does God want us to witness and worship and work with him and be wondering at his goodness and at his grace, but he wants us to wait. The word of God said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe, beloved, listen, that this has been a trying time for the last 2 years. And I believe a lot of people have given up. Say amen. But I believe, listen, beloved, they that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. We don't have to figure it out. All we got to do is know who's on the throne. And all we got to do is know He's coming again. Say amen. He has risen from the dead, but thank God He's coming again. Look what the Word of God said in chapter 24 of Luke and verse 49. The Word of God said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I believe with all of my heart, beloved. Listen, the Bible said, wait upon the Lord. And again I say, wait. I believe, listen, years ago I was trying to get an answer to a prayer. And every time I opened my Bible, I mean, it didn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. I wish I could just take you to all the places. But God just kept saying, wait, 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 wait. Wait, it was 13 months of waiting. Brother Blankenship, you're talking about the will of God and desire and God's will and God's way. It don't always come like out of a microwave in 30 seconds. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, but while I was waiting, I was working. While I was waiting, I was witnessing. While I was waiting, I was worshiping. Amen. While I was waiting, I was still wondering that the likes of Him could use the likes of me in His work. Amen. Wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Then there's another thing, just a couple more things, and I'm finished tonight, that I want to show you in that interim there. Then look at John chapter number 20 and verse number 11. John chapter 20 and verse number 11. We see here, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher, and the Word of God said, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. I want you to know tonight, my wife and I visited with a young lady yesterday that was weeping. She's overwhelmed. She don't know what's going to happen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. Amen. What was it? What was the rest? For they shall be comforted. The Word of God said, weep, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I want you to know, beloved, listen, while we're having a good day, somebody's not having a good day. Somebody's weeping. And Mary, she didn't understand, beloved. She stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now, I'm going to tell you, what changed that weeping to worship. Let's look at it. She seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Beloved, all she's wanting to do is anoint that body. Amen? And she can't even find the body. And she's weeping because she's not going to be able, she's broken because she can't find that body that she might do what was in her heart to do. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, this to me is amazing. You talk about wondering, beloved. Has he ever called your name? Has he ever let you know, beloved, that you can trust him? Has he ever let you know that even in the depths of your despair, beloved, he knows where you are. He knows what you need. I'm telling you, beloved, he called her name Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. I want to tell you something tonight. Listen, down here, sometimes the weeping is temporary. You understand what I mean. Our hearts break. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. There's going to come a day when the weeping will be no more. The Word of God said that God is going to wipe all tears away from our eyes. And beloved, it's going to be one endless day, one glorious day with Him. Amen. What a blessing that is. One more thing in Acts chapter number 1. Turn over and look at verse number 9 with me. What else should we be doing? Witnessing and worshiping and working and wandering and waiting and weeping. Beloved, I'll say this tonight. This is not quoted much anymore. Let me see if I can get it started. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to turn to the Scripture. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe we'll see more reaping when we see more sowing. Amen. My wife was excited today. I thought, Brother Jim, we buried the taters too deep. I mean, I never did think it was going to come up. I said, they must be laying down in the bottom of that thing and rotting. But oh, I tell you today, they broke through. They're breaking through everywhere. Amen. You say you get excited over a tater? You think I'm this big without getting excited over taters? Say amen. You better believe I get it. Now, not maters, but taters, yes. Amen. I'll take the taters all day long. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming again. What's he want us to do? Look in verse number 9. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I love these three words. Brother Jim, this same Jesus, that same Jesus that hung on the cross, that same Jesus that healed the blind and healed the lame, walked on water. That same Jesus that broke the fish and broke the bread and fed 5,000 people. That same Jesus that was crucified and rose again the third day. The same Jesus that ascended into heaven is so coming again in like manner. That's what the Word of God said. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You say, Pastor, what else does God want us to be doing? He wants us to be watching. Do you really believe he's coming again? Talking to Bob the other day. I'm not going to name names because the little ones here, I know they got them good ears. Bob was talking about his daughter. Y'all know the Bob I'm talking about, don't you? He's talking to his daughter. They're standing up on a mountain. Way up on the mountain, they'd hiked up there. He said, honey, he said, we're getting up very close to Jesus. She's pretty smart. He said, honey, Jesus is coming. Won't that be wonderful? She said to her daddy, but Daddy, me and my brother ain't saved. Think about that for just a minute. Now, I happen to believe they're at an age where they're safe. But but also believe that anybody's at an age that ain't looking forward to the Lord coming, say amen. I believe we ought to be watching, but I don't believe we ought to be idle while we're watching. Sister Jerry, you talked about the youngins that come on the van. I've believed this for years. We're wrong if we're any less interested in those youngins than we are our own. Or any less interested in those youngins than we are our own grandchildren. Say amen. We ought to be watching. He's coming. John, the Revelator, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. You remember, he saw Jesus. He saw the glorified Christ. Saw what was going on through the church ages. Saw the rapture come up hither in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. He saw the time of Jacob's trouble. He saw the marriage of the Lamb. He saw the great white throne. He saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband. He saw the city. He gets to the end of the book, and he says these words, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." John saw all of that, and he said the best thing that could happen is if Jesus would come again. Amen. I hope you got something out of that tonight. Listen, don't let Easter Sunday, don't let a good day die. Say amen. He is risen as he said, but that ain't all he said. He gave us plenty to do till he comes, didn't he? Amen. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I pray, God, you'd meet with us tonight in our business meeting. I do pray, God, for my grandchildren. Lord, I pray that every one of them would make their way to the cross when that time is right. Lord, I do believe some of them will be saved at a young age. They're being taught right. Their heart's tender. I pray, dear God, tonight that you'll help us here at the church. Help every Sunday school teacher, Lord, to pray over their class. Pray over their lesson. Help us, God, that it's already been said tonight that we'd be a church with open arms. A spiritual hospital where people could come in hurting and find some healing that's offered by the great physician. Lord, we love you tonight. I pray, God, you'd help us, like Jesus, to be about our Father's business. In thy name we pray. Amen. Amen.